Go over to Philippians, please, chapter number 1. I won't do the finish the dispensation of the law tonight, but I will tell you the law can't save anybody. Amen. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercies hath to save us. But I want you to look at one verse. I hope everybody has a Bible and you're looking at it. I'm going to teach you something tonight. And I'm hoping that you'll open your heart to it. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. I'm just going to preach from one verse. I'm going to do a thorough job on one verse. This is a great verse. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. My title tonight is this: can we be sure that our salvation will last? Pretty good thought. I want to say to you tonight, I'll answer it in a short answer, then give you passages of scripture. Yes, we can.
Amen.
Now let me address the issue. If you're here tonight, and here's the dilemma, okay? Let me give you the dilemma. There's a lot of denominations. And somebody will ask you, well, which one of y'all is right anyway? Well, I'm going to just tell you. We are. We're right because we preach the Bible. We're right because we know what salvation's all about. Now let me explain some of the problems. I believe, here's what I believe. January 31st, 1973, when I trusted Christ, God saved me and sealed me to the day of redemption, and I cannot ever possibly be lost. And that my salvation, here's the key, had nothing to do with me, and the keeping of my salvation has nothing to do with me. Now here's the problems. Listen to them. Some of you might tonight say, well, preacher, I believe that I did come, I think, and trust Christ. But preacher, since I trusted him, though, I've been taught that I got to work to make sure I get there. So you're telling me then that God had some to do with it, but he didn't have all to do with it. I don't know if that passage taught that or not. And then there's some folks like this. Well, when I came with my works, and I started working for God the moment I came up and got converted. And that's why I'm saved. Now, I'm going to be blunt with you. If that's what you're basing your salvation on, you are not saved. Now, you could be fouled up in this way, that gentlemen, you came and trusted Christ and asked him to save you by faith, and then you've been taught erroneously in some Armenian church that you can be saved and lost and saved and lost. And I want you to know, if you believe that, you're a miserable Christian, and you probably don't even go to church faithfully because you can't hold it and you can't keep it and you're unhappy and it really doesn't thrill you because you're trying your best to keep it, but you're always failing. And and you're always doing something wrong, and you're always wondering if I'm going to get in or not. Now, listen to me. I want you all to know I don't have one doubt I'm getting in. Now here, I want to give you this passage and explain it to you, and then we'll go home. I'll do it in three ways, three things. Number one, the commencement of salvation. Look at the verse. Let's break it down in three portions. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath what? Well, who? Who done it? Was it John Smith that done it? Hey, Amy, did you do it? Hey, Gene, did you begin it? So let's get it right, brother. At the commencement of our salvation, it's God that done it. He that was begun a good work in you. Number one, it's a work of God. Salvation of the Lord is of the Lord. Nowhere in the Bible that says man manufactured it. Man didn't plan it. Man didn't provide for it. Man doesn't have any purpose in it. Man doesn't can't keep any of his promises. We are failures. We're hellbound without a work of God in our life. And there's many people in denominations, they're in churches tonight, that's been taught false doctrine, and they're going to burn in hell because they've never had a clear presentation of Jesus. And God's never did the work in their life. And not only is it a work of God, it's a work of grace. By grace are you saved. Tobin said it. By grace are you saved, and not by works. The Bible teaches not by works. How many say it with me? Not by works. Lest any man should boast. It's a work of grace. So what is grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Let's tell it like it is. We're going to heaven because God put your sins on him, and he took your place, and he bore your sin. And you, the only thing you can do right now, and by the way, faith is a gift of God, and that is to trust him totally. Amen. Now I'm going to say something to you. Listen to my words. If you add works to it in any part, it's no longer grace. You say, preacher, I go to church where they teach you can be lost again and that you can't know you're saved until you get to heaven. Well, what are you going to do with the scripture? When Paul said, for I know in whom I believe. And what you're going to do is a scripture in where it says, I give unto them eternal life. When do you get eternal life? When you die or when you got saved? Well, I know, because the Bible says this life is in his son. When you receive the son, you receive the life. And you know what? There's people stumbling over this. And it's crying shame. And that's why the Bible said there's going to be a great judgment on false preachers. I wouldn't want to be in some of them preacher's shoes when they get up before God, because they're literally going to have thousands of people they cause to die and go to hell. You say, well, wait a minute, can I get this thing half right? No, you've got to have it all right. Not only is it a work of God, it's a work of grace, but it's a work of glory. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Here's what I mean. Now, hold, don't be misunderstanding me. Tobin done a great lesson, but Tobin was talking about sanctification. He was actually talking about the outer man. I'm talking about the inner man. And I want y'all to know something. You want to know what's saved about you? Not your flesh. It's your inner man. Now I'm going to give you a scripture. There might be some of you back here say, oh, I got the preacher now. Because see, I believe you can sin and be lost. What if I can prove to you, you can't sin after you get saved? Hold the phone. And some of y'all looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I seen you. I know. I saw your face. You lit up and said, "Oh no, boy, I got that buzzer now." Well, do you really? Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Now I'm just gonna show you something. And you're not taught this in no Armenian church. Y'all going over there with me? Now let me ask you, how many of you is born of God? How many of you are born again? Amen. Okay. Turn to 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Well, if I can't sin, I can't be lost. For his seed remaineth in him, listen to this, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So what do you mean? I'm saying the part that's saved can't sin. Now hold on a minute. Now I'm going to tell you something that it's going to blow your mind, this next statement. I just told you. You can't sin. Didn't I not just tell y'all that? How many of y'all heard me say you can't sin? Now I'm going to say something else. You're a bunch of hypocrites if you say you can't sin. You say, whoa, you got me confused. Now you stay with me. I'm going to teach you something here. Well, let me show you. Look back in chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So which is it? Both. What's born again can't sin, therefore it can't be lost. But this thing hadn't been regenerated yet. That's why when you die to be absent from the body's present with the Lord, your soul and spirit goes to heaven, your body goes back to the grave, and one day he'll resurrect your body, and then it will be saved too. See, there's a difference between fellowship and relationship. You can lose fellowship, but you cannot lose relationship. And some of you, if you've been in churches that taught you that garbage, that's what it is. You need to get out of that junk. I don't proselyte nobody from any churches, but I will proselyte people that have been taught you can be saved and lost, saved and lost, saved and lost. I will try to get you out of a church that teaches you got to work to be saved. That's a lie. Let me finish this thing. Number two, I got 3 minutes, oh Lord. Look at verse 6, stay there. Being confident of this very thing, he that had begun a good work in you, read this with me. Will what? Say it, church, will what? The continuation of salvation. Now, wait a minute. Joe, help me here, son. I'm just an old country boy. I know I got a couple doctorates, Joe, but I'm just an old country boy. Now, I said, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. So do I have this right? If my salvation came from him, then is it not logical to say that verse teaches that the continuation of my salvation is him? You know the most frustrated person in this room? The person in this room that's been taught, okay, yes, initiates with grace, But if I'm going to continue to be saved, I got to perform it. You're not that good. Because whosoever keepeth the whole law but offendeth in one point is guilty of it all. The plan is that God is going to perform it. I'm skipping over some verses because of my time. The process is that now we're the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And the power is that we're kept by the power of God. Now listen, we're not done. The completion of salvation. How long is it going to last? Look at verse 6. Until the day of Jesus Christ. What that means is, I'm saved until he comes. And when he comes, he finishes redemption's plan by redeeming my body. My question is to you tonight. What are you depending on to get to heaven? Works? When the Bible says it's not by works? How do you know you're going to heaven? Well, you can't know by your works. Has there really been a time that you trusted Christ alone and that you have the full assurance that what happened in that transaction is the reason you're going to heaven? And you know that you can't keep a thing. If you're going to go, it's God. And you may leave out of here half mad at me. And I didn't teach you Baptist doctrine tonight. I taught you the Bible. Amen. And there's people today that's not preaching what I'm preaching. But you're here with me. Now I want to ask a real important question. If you're here tonight and you know that you're saved because your salvation is because of a work of God, raise your hand if you know. Thank you. How many of you here tonight would say, "Preacher, I am just not sure. I'm confused because really I've been dependent on my works." Me right now say, "Preacher Smith, I want to know if I died, I'd be in heaven. And I want to know if Christ come, I'm going to heaven. And really, preacher, I don't know for sure because I've been depending on just works." I wonder how many, before you die, before Christ comes, you want to know 100% you're going to heaven. And you just slip your hand up and say, "And nobody's looking but me, and I will not embarrass you. We're not that kind of church. Holy Ghost got to do his work." But if you're here and you don't know for sure, how many slip up your hand and say, "Pray for me"? God bless you. Somebody else, just slip it up high. Say, "Preacher, I am confused about this thing on salvation, preacher. I am confused. I've been in churches where they taught me all this stuff, and I'm confused. I'm confused, preacher." Well, you need to get a place where it's not confusing, where the truth's preached. The words preach. And I pray tonight, if you don't know for sure, it gets sure.